We've slowly changed it to be about fellowship, Christian fellowship. But that's a side issue. The main dish is the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the first side dish is to receive the word of God. And then if we happen to have fellowship while we're here, that's wonderful, but it cannot replace the worship or the word of God. Can I get an amen? You know, we live in a time that we're going to have to push back against the course of this world. And we're going to have to realize what the Bible requires from us and not allow anything else to get in our way so that we're focused on what pleases God and not necessarily what pleases man. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation, and we're going to look at the last letter of the seven letters, this one addressed to the Laodiceans. And for those of you that follow this ministry, you know that the Laodicean church represents that church that is on the planet at the time that of Jesus's coming back to rapture the church. Of all the churches, of the seven churches that received letters, Laodicea was one of the churches that Jesus said nothing good about them. That represents us. Jesus said nothing good about the Laodiceans. All he did was condemn them for their actions. The other churches all got some commendation along with their condemnation, but the Laodicean church, there's no commendation there. Virtually everything that was being done wrong. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not people of God on this planet that are living hard for Jesus Christ, but generally across the planet today, most churches have followed after the progressive movement away from the Word of God, and we've kind of made up our own thing, churchianity. Christianity has changed to churchianity, and we do our old thing, and as end-time people, we need to press back to the Word of God. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. And the angel of the church of the unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you today, Lord, asking you that your spirit would be felt here today, that you would make yourself known, and that you would give me the unction of your spirit to speak in a very clear manner to your people here within the four walls of the church, across our webcast, across the radio. Help me to make a certain sound to blow the trumpet in Zion. And help us, Lord, as a people to make our way back to the will and the word of God alone. We pray it this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, the offerings that we will receive today here in the worship room and across the internet, we ask you to bless those families. Return it unto them. Father, in Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen. So Jesus tells this last day church, I know your works. And he begins to explain to us that the controversy he has is that we're neither cold or hot, but that we're somewhere in between. And I want to share with you a message this morning entitled The Hypocrisy of the Middle Ground. All of us have felt this. If we're not careful, there's this drifting. There's this drifting that occurs within Christianity where you could be on fire last year, but if you're not careful, you'll drift back to a place of lukewarmness. It's no different. I have a fireplace at home, and when I fire it up, we made it big. I fire that thing up. I'll throw four or five logs in there, and I got a blaze going. It heats the house. But if I don't watch it, those burning logs of wood will turn into embers that are moving towards coldness. And even though they may be red hot, when I go to sleep, when I wake up in the morning, it's just dust. It's nothing. Because there's this natural propensity to move from hot to lukewarm. And it's so in the Christian life. If you're not watching over your salvation to make sure that your zeal and your compassion and that your heart is on fire for God, I guarantee you're moving towards lukewarmness, and you will be able to tell it in your worship, in your study of the Word, and in your prayer life. You can tell that you're moving away from God. And God says to the Laodicean church, he says, I know thy works, that thou, you're neither cold nor hot. Now, cold speaks of a complete apathy towards God, a complete indifference. It's like I don't even think about him. And of course, hot means there's a zeal and a passion for the things of God. But what he accuses the Laodiceans of is the middle ground, becoming comfortable in the middle ground. It means that there's an outward show of passion, but there's no inward fire or zeal for God. It means that we check off all the check marks. I've done this, I've done that, I've gone to church, I've paid my tithe, I sang a worship song, but there's no internal reality that's burning. The burning passion for Christ is not burning in the heart. He says, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. And he goes on to say, I would. In other words, it's my will that thou wert cold or hot. Now get this. He's saying, I would rather you be cold, totally apathetic towards me than to sit in this middle ground. And what he's saying is that it is repulsive to consider ourselves to be the bride of Jesus Christ, but there's no passion for Jesus Christ. There's no love for Jesus Christ. We're just checking off the boxes we think have to be checked off so we don't go to hell. But see, this Bible is not just about going to hell. It's falling in love with Jesus Christ. It's letting the fire of God consume us like he burned in the burning bush before Moses. That there's a light that shines from our lives. That there's a burning that shines in our hearts. And it's very easy to move away from that because it takes spiritual effort to burn for God. How many know what I'm talking about? It takes spiritual energy. You have to put forth. It's not by default. You're not on fire for God by default. By default, you move towards lukewarm, and you would go all the way to cold, but you don't want to go to hell. So this middle ground is a place of hypocrisy. That we have all the outward showings of a Christian in love with Jesus Christ. But in our private moments, there's no internal communion with him. And he says, I wish you were either cold or hot. So then he says, because thou art lukewarm, it means just having just a tepid relationship with God. You know, I'll bless my food, maybe. But there's nothing inside burning us to spend an hour in personal prayer with God. There's nothing on the inside pulling us to a deeper relationship. He says, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, this is very strong language. The word spew is vomit. He's saying, I will reject you. Now get this. If I were to eat a steak, as I chew it and I eat it, it becomes part of my body. But if I spew it out, if I vomit it out, now it's there, it's no longer part of my body. It's been expelled from my body. And that's what Jesus is saying here. If we live our lives comfortable in that middle ground of hypocrisy and we're comfortable there, we're in danger of being spewed out of the body of Christ. Listen, we're his bride. We're his bride. How horrible would it be for a young man that has done everything to win his bride's heart? He's gone to extreme lengths to win his bride's heart, only to find that when it's time to consummate the marriage, that there's no passion for him. There's no concern, no love, no zeal for him. And that's the Lord's complaint towards the Laodiceans. Now, there is this middle ground that all of us can drift through. None of us are so super spiritual that we're not in danger of this. I have to watch my own heart. And I'll just be honest with you. I not only have to watch my heart, I have to take a right-hand turn sometimes. Because you're drifting, drifting, drifting. You say, oh my God, let me get back. You have to make an adjustment in your walk in order to keep that coveted place of passion for Christ. But if we get comfortable kind of blurring the line, it's not on fire, it's not cold. We blur the line into lukewarm, and then we normalize lukewarm as though that's Christianity. That's a dangerous place for you and I to be, because we may normalize it, but God will not normalize it. Amen. Either you're in or you're out. You're saved or you're unsaved. Amen. You're a male or you're a female. There's not 52 genders in between. Either you're married or you're unmarried. There's not baby's daddy and baby's mama and shacking together in between. That, God doesn't accept that. And he doesn't accept us having this lackadaisic, tepid walk with him for which there's no reality. We just do enough to check off. Let me make sure I checked off the box. Wouldn't want to go to hell. Need to check that box off. And so what will happen over time is that you start missing church. Church will not be as important as it used to be. And I remember a time in my own walk, and I'm not that old. It's been less than 50 years ago that when a person said they were saved, they were in church every single week because there was nothing of higher priority in their life. That was the priority of their life. I remember my wife and I, before we bought a house, we lived in apartments, and we would always get an apartment that was close to our church. We're gonna move. Let's move somewhere else. Okay, well, what's available around our church? Because it was the center of our lives and remains so to this very day. But see, when other things begin to be a priority, the shift is already happening, although you may not see it. The shift is already happening. And you can find yourself so far away from the mercy and the kindness of God that it's a real struggle sometimes to get back. Because we allow this middle ground to be normalized. It's not normal. It's normal for man. It's not normal for God. Isaiah 5 and 20 says this, woe. The word woe means misery, suffering, trouble, pain. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And that put darkness for light and light for darkness. And that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. See, the prophecy that in the last days, we will turn everything upside down. And it's happening right before our eyes. Our governmental officials are telling us that female means male and that male means female. It's happening right before our eyes. We expect that from the sinners because that's what sinners do. They sin. But when it comes into the household of faith, and when we begin to blur the line between the two extremes, it becomes a problem. So he's saying to his people in this last hour, I would that you were hot or you were cold. But this lukewarm position is not acceptable. You know, when somebody's cold, when somebody's just unsaved, they're easy to deal with. You can get a cold, just a regular everyday sinner on drugs and alcohol, you can get them saved in a heartbeat because they know they're wrong. They're not fighting. But when you take somebody lukewarm, they're doing everything they can do to justify themselves. They're taking the scripture and torturing them out of perspective to justify how they're living. He said, I would that you was either hot or cold. But this lukewarmness. See, we see examples of this in the scripture, and sometimes we may be blurry on what we're looking at, but we see God's extreme anger. Sometimes evidence, and we wonder why. How many's ever read the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Let's take a look at that in the book of Acts, chapter 5. I'll just begin reading with verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now let's stop there and give some backdrop. There was a time of persecution, and so the saints were selling property so that the money could be taken and fair distribution could be made voluntarily giving of their own so distribution could be made to some of the poor saints and the widows so that they would not be without. And so it was very in vogue, this display of agape love within the body of the early church. People were giving of their own. But Ananias and Sapphira, they put a plot together. We're going to sell the possession and we're going to give part of it and lay it at the apostles' feet. But we're not going to give it all, but we're going to have the external display that we've given like everybody else, while in the meantime, we're only going to give a part of it. In other words, they wanted to be seen as being as spiritual and loving as everyone else, when in reality, selfishness was still there, and they created a middle ground, a place in the middle, a place of hypocrisy in the middle. I look like everybody else is on fire, but in reality, I don't have the compassion that everybody else has, but I want to present myself as such. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Now here's the problem that we face. When we walk around in lukewarmness, and we present to the people of God, we present publicly that we're Christians on fire for God. And we'll use all the scriptures that we can remember and every piece of theology that we can imagine to present ourselves as on fire when we know our prayer life is gone. It's gone. There is no study life. When we know there is no personal private worship. When is the last time, not in church, but at home or in your car, you just began to worship God till the tears ran down your face? When is the last time you just spent time alone with Him in intimate communion until something on the inside is being tugged on? How long has that been? All saints, don't let it be too long. Because that's what Christianity is. You see, we move to the middle and we don't realize our strength is being sapped from us the way that Delilah sapped it from Samson. That we can shake ourselves and we wist not that the Spirit of the Lord has departed from us. That we don't have the place that we once had in the Lord. Saints, it's not easy getting back on fire for God if you move too far off the mark. How many's ever know? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's not that easy. You can begin to try to move back towards God and you realize this is a fight. This is a struggle to get back. So when you have that precious place of having a zeal for God, don't move from that mark. Don't go to the middle ground of hypocrisy. It's easy for us to justify things in our own minds. How many's ever just come to the understanding? It's easy. I can talk myself into anything. But the thing is that no matter how I justify it in my mind, God is immutable. He is unchangeable. His ways are the rock. He does not move in the slightest bit. It doesn't matter how much I cry. He don't move. And the way that He has orchestrated His creation and the infrastructure of salvation, those goalposts don't move based on how I feel or how I've reacted. They are steadfast, and I have to conduct myself within the reality that God has set forth. Now, here's something that David said in the 136th Psalm, and I'm only going to read a few verses. There's actually 26 verses in this Psalm. Oh, let me go back. Hold it. Before we go to that, it says in Acts 5, it says, when Peter said, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and died and gave up the ghost. That shows how serious God is about this. And I know we can easily say, oh, it was a fluke. He just happened to have a heart attack at that time. Well, his wife came in several hours later, and the same Peter, he spoke death on that woman. Read your Bible. He spoke it from his mouth. The same boots that carried your husband out are going to carry you out, and she died on the spot under the unction of the Holy Spirit. God is serious about this. I know we're weak. I know we're but flesh. I'm just as weak as you are. The thing is to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. I like something Brother Lauren said years ago that I heard. It doesn't matter. In your personal struggle, in your personal fight, it does not matter. You can be losing. When Jesus comes, you can be losing. But the thing is that you're still fighting. But once you stop fighting, that means you've given in. Let me move on. Psalms 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. And if you read through that Psalms, 26 verses, 26 times, the psalmist says his mercy endures forever. Forever means that it is eternal. It means his mercy is eternal, infinite. But yet we find a people in Revelation 14 so comfortable with the middle ground. Sapped of all strength and all power, that when the pressure is applied to their lives through the government officials, when the pressure is applied to their lives, they will take the mark of the beast in their forehead or their right hand. It's prophesied. It will come to pass. But it won't happen to people who are on fire for God. It's going to happen to people who are lukewarm and who have normalized this tepid, lukewarm Christianity that has no power and no strength and no unction from God. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man, and that means woman, that means member of humanity, worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead and his right hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and forever. So here's who we're dealing with. God is an infinite God. His mercy, infinite. His judgment, infinite. We better make sure we're not standing in the place of lukewarmness. I know we're broken. I know that it's a struggle. But when he comes, you need to still be fighting. You can't just accept that place that, well, it's Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, surely God doesn't expect me to go to church on Super Bowl Sunday. And we've normalized that in this country. It's normal. We know the church attendance goes down on those type of sporting events. But if you go to a Christian in Pakistan who's living his life under Islamic persecution, he doesn't even know there is a Super Bowl. All he knows is I trust in Jesus Christ with all of my heart. And we especially in the Western world, we get very comfortable with our delicate mindsets. Where the men are more like women. And the women have turned somewhat toxic. And society is unraveling. There are no fathers and mothers. There's just baby's daddy and baby's mama. There are no marriages. There's just, crawling from pillar to post with one another, whatever we want to do. God said, I wish that you were cold or hot, but don't put the stamp of God's name on top of our sin and our lukewarmness and say, this is what Christianity is. I am so thankful that when I got saved, I had a brother who'd been saved before me, and I didn't know I was even supposed to go to church. I had no idea. I just got saved. I mean, I'm a heathen, okay? And my brother told me, yeah, you need to be going to church. And I go, well, man, which one? There's so many. Which one you go to? And I'm so thankful that he pointed me to an Assemblies of God church where I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they didn't have everything right, but I'll tell you one thing they did have right, that fire would fall in that church. Amen. And the saints of God would be all ablaze. I mean, when somebody gave an utterance, you didn't hear it, brother. You felt it. You felt it down on the inside. I thank God for those times, for that upbringing in Christianity. Because many people now get saved and they go to Lakewood Baptist Church and they sit there and they listen to a tepid word and nothing pushing them towards closeness with Christ, and it becomes normalized. And so when the horsemen begin to ride and the Jordan begins to swell, they don't know what to do. The smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. Incidentally, that word torment in that scripture translates to torture. That's the definition of that word if you look it up in the original language. Torture. Forever and forever. That means as long as God is. It means as the ages roll out one after another. See, what man has done is said, oh my God, that's such a horrible vision you're painting. I believe there's a purgatory. It's a middle ground between heaven and hell, and we can be comfortable with purgatory. But I'm sorry, that rug is going to be pulled out from under you, and you're going to realize you've been listening to the devil. Amen. If we look at the Apostle Paul's life and the kind of fire that burned in him, he was beaten with rods 5 times. 39 stripes, 5 times. The reason that the Jews limited it to 39 stripes is they found that that was the sweet spot, because oftentimes if they went to 40 and higher, the person would die. So 39 was the maximum amount of stripes that they could give without 100% chance of killing the person on the whipping pole. Paul endured it 5 times and was still preaching. What kind of spirit is this? The grace of God, the grace of God will show itself in our lives if we'll commit to be on fire for him. You know, it's like anything else in the world or anything else that we do. It doesn't just happen by itself. For example, if you're going to learn to play the piano, you have to dedicate hours to playing the piano. You have to watch your progress from a little progress to greater progress until you can play fluently. If you're going to learn to pray, you have to spend time in prayer. And you have to pray, stumbling in prayer, anguishing, looking at the clock. Oh, it's only been 10 minutes. You have to just push forward until you get to that place. I remember learning to pray as a young Christian. They said in my church that the men were having a prayer meeting. I said, well, I guess I'm supposed to be there. I better go. It was at, 4:30 in the morning. So I was there. And I remember this one time I'm praying, and I'm a young Christian. I'm reading the Bible. I can't quote anything. And so I've always, you know, prayed the scripture. That's just what I've always done. And I'm praying the scripture, and I messed the scripture all the way up. I mean, misquoted it bad, out loud. And my pastor was a few feet away from me sitting on the floor praying, and he prayed that scripture correctly for me. That was such an encouragement, that he would help me to get my prayer straight. And so you start in a place that you may not know how to pray, but you graduate year by year until the place you can walk the floor for hours with God. Amen, because you've been developed, you've been built up. Saints, don't let that middle ground of hypocrisy become your home. Amen, get on fire for God. We can look at the signs and the seasons. Jerusalem is a cup of trembling. Global societies are turned upside down. The seas and the waves are foaming, meaning the people are in absolute chaos. And that's the very picture of when Christ said he would reappear. Don't be comfortable in that middle ground. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we love you today. We thank you so much for your goodness and your grace, your long suffering and your mercy. God, your compassion that you've had upon us. Lord, and we thank you for the word of God that shows us the way and your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth. Now, Father, this morning we would ask you for your strength and the convicting power of your Spirit that we might make our way back to a place of being on fire for God, that the coals of the altars might burn in our hearts. Oh God, we come to you right now. We ask you for your presence and your conviction here in the worship room, across the entire webcast, the radio station. Oh God, let your Holy Spirit convict now. Come on, would you stand to your feet if you're able here in the room? Let's just reach out to God. Father, I need more. I need your help. God, I cannot do it. You've told me that your strength is made perfect in my weakness. I confess that I'm weak, God, to do anything for myself, but I ask you to help me. I come today boldly to your throne of grace, and I ask you, Lord, that you would help me, that you would strengthen me, that you would draw me, oh God, to a place of full and total commitment to the things of God. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. He wants to sometimes hear your voice. Sometimes it's not enough for the preacher to preach. He wants to hear your voice. Just tell him, God, help me today. Father, I need your help. I'm not strong enough to do it by myself. But God, you've told me I can do all things through Christ who will strengthen me. And so, Lord, I ask you for strength that I might come back to this place of being on fire. Come on, just reach out for the Lord this morning. Reach out.
Father, as we draw near to you, Lord God, we ask that you draw near to us. Lord God, including myself and all of us together, Lord God, as we repent and we lay down those things that so easily besets us, Lord God, we ask, Father, that you will continue to strengthen us, Lord God, to seek after you, Father, in a more intimate way, Lord God, to become closer to you, Lord God, so that you can prepare us and strengthen us, Father, for what's about to come. We glorify your name, Father. We thank you so much, Father, for your word. We have heard your cry. We have heard your voice, Lord God. Strengthen us, Lord God, as we walk according to your will and purpose for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Two announcements. First, thank you all for coming out this morning, listening to the word of God, breaking bread with one another. If you haven't had a chance to give yet, we do need your support. As you know, there are many ways to give. They're up there on the screen. We want to thank our online audience as well, too, for joining us this morning. And please do not forget that daylight savings time is next Saturday evening. You will lose an hour of sleep, so go to sleep a little bit early so you can gain that hour back. Again, thank you. May we all be blessed as we depart from here, and we'll see you soon. And if you come back to the second service, we'll see you. God bless you, and have a wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen.